One of our goals of studying the Bible rightly divided, of course, is to know God and know His will so that we can come to a knowledge of the truth. And it's not just for our own profit and gain so that, you know, we can be nice people and that we can tell the people what to do and that sort of thing. That's not what being a Christian is about. God has created the universe, and there's a proper order to things. There's a right way for things to operate. And because He's given free will, because He's given people a choice to choose unrighteousness, to choose sin or their own way or God's way, man chose their own way and sin entered the world back in Genesis 3 by one man. And so we're all made in that image where we walk in our own course, in our own way. Ephesians 2 says we walk in our own course, the course of the world, which is an evil, wicked course. It's evil and wicked, by the way, because it's not God's course. And what that leads to is death, not because God imposes it on people, because that's the natural way of the course of wicked and evilness. If you're not walking in God's way, it naturally leads to death. Okay, and so it's not something where God just hates people who choose their own way. That's not the way to live. And so being a Christian, you know, I think I dealt with this question on the website once. Why you're a Christian is because you like to live. And you're pro-life in that sense. You know, you're against death. You want to live and live abundantly. You want to live to the fullest. And that's what being a Christian should be. It's knowing who God is, knowing who you are in relationship to Him, and walking accordingly. And so that's called godliness, is what that's called. Godliness is being like God, walking like God, thinking like God, and walking in that right way like God. And so that should be our goal as we learn the Bible, learn about Him, learn His will. It's to increase and grow in godliness. Okay, it's to know who He is. And so as we do that, one of the tools of our growth is learning how to judge properly and judgment. And you'll see what I mean here in a bit. And I know full well that when I say we should know how to judge, and here I am claiming to be a Christian, that most of the world says, typical Christianity, judging other people, right? I'm not saying that in the sense that most people think. And of course, we've just been talking about Harold Camping and his declaration of God's judgment on the world, okay? And I'm not dealing with that either, God's wrath. What we're talking about here is the ability to discern, the ability to make a judgment on what is right and wrong and truth and error. And without a knowledge of God and His will, it's impossible for natural man to be able to do that. Okay? They can have their own judgment and opinions and preferences on who doesn't have an opinion, who doesn't have a determination about how things happen. But without God's truth, they can't make a godly determination. They can't make a righteous judgment. Okay? It's just going to be their own judgment, which will typically lead the wrong direction. Okay? And so if you look at Hebrews chapter 4, we can learn here in Hebrews that the Word of God acts a certain way as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Verse 12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, in the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The idea is that God's Word, God and the words that He speaks, is able to discern, it's able to judge and determine, to make a distinction between these things, even the soul and spirit, which to you seems like things you don't understand. I can explain you have a body, and I can explain that you have something inside of you that's not your body. And you can grasp that somewhat. There's a soul in there. If I say, well, here's a soul and here's a spirit, and they're different, that's harder to grasp. Well, how is that different? They're both invisible. They're both part of you. They're both inside. Well, I don't know how they're different. You see, so it's harder to discern that. God's Word can know. And so that's how specific and how narrow his discernment is in the Word of God. And what I'm trying to point out here is that when you get the Word of God in you, and the Word of God rightly divided, you start to become a discerner of truth. Now, you'll never be perfect like God. You'll never have perfect judgment like God. And so we'll cover that today as well. But when we learn how to judge, the idea is when we study the Word of God and get it in us, we'll be able to judge and have a righteous judgment more often, to discern right and wrong, truth from error. Okay? In Psalm 26, verse 1, David says to the Lord, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have also trusted in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. He asked God to judge him. He's not saying, hit me, God, with what you got. You know, give me your fire and brimstone. You know, he's not saying that. He's saying, God, analyze me, examine me, evaluate me, show me where the wrongs are at. I want to fix them. Right? That's what he's saying. And of course, Solomon says that same thing, that a wise man will be open for correction, open for review. Because a wise man's always trying to improve himself, always trying to improve on his knowledge and understanding and his wisdom. And so if there's some wrong that he can't see and someone else can point it out, he's thankful for that, you see. And so that's what the Bible talks about in judgment, is discerning right and wrong, truth from error. Okay? And we need that. Well, we need that judgment. And we'll see here that's a tool of our growth. Look at Proverbs chapter 19, verse 28. Proverbs 19, 28. Solomon says, an ungodly witness scorns judgment. Okay, so ungodly people in Proverbs 19, they scorn judgment. They don't want it. And that's typically what we see when we talk about judgment in society. And I know, I can't speak for all of Christianity. There are Christians out there with the signs, and they're condemning people to hell with the signs. And I know that they're yelling at people saying, you know, don't do this, you're going to hell, and don't do that because you're going to hell. And they're out there judging, and everyone knows Matthew 7:1, don't judge, you know. And so the world sees Christianity and religion as judgmental. Okay, and I understand that. But the truth of the matter is that the reason why judgment is offensive to people is because it exposes wrong. You know, I'm never offended. I wouldn't be offended if someone from another religion came up to me and said, you're going to hell. Okay? Because I desire not to go to hell. And so I would say, okay, why am I going to hell? Show me what the right way is. I want that. But people who want to go their own way, people who don't care about what's right, they hate that. They hate someone else trying to point out what the right way is. Okay, and so ungodly people scorn judgment. They don't want it. Okay, a wise man, Solomon says, well, will look for rebuke and reproof. And David prays that God judge me, evaluate me, make sure I'm living right, make sure I'm straight. You see? Now, I say all these verses here in Proverbs and Psalm and Hebrews knowing that those are not our dispensations. Okay, I'm going for definition of biblical judgment. I know that we're not operating under the covenant. And the covenant was, there was a list, as we talked about this morning, a list of 613 points of law whereby they can judge themselves according to the law. And God would judge them according to those 600 points. Right? And if they kept the Ten Commandments, those were the judgments that God could determine on them. All right? We're not under that law system. But it sure is nice to learn God's righteousness and to learn the right way. Okay? It sure is nice to make those judgments. And we'll see here later that when our judgment, it requires us to understand the mystery as well. And so proper judgments needed more specifically under this dispensation, where you don't have any obligation to a covenant system. And so where does that leave you? That leaves you without a law binding on you. That leaves you free to do whatever you want. That's where you need judgment, you see? You need some restraint there. And that judgment's going to come from your knowledge, your understanding. It's going to give you wisdom. It's going to come from your knowledge of the Bible rightly divided and your position in Christ. But anyway, David prayed for God to judge, and we're trying just to define what I mean by judgment here at the beginning, okay? And then we're going to talk about why we need to judge and what we judge and then how we judge, okay, so we can increase in that and have proper judgment. David prays for judgment. Solomon says ungodly people scorn judgment. Look at Proverbs chapter 21, verse 3. Solomon says, to do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Remember, God required the sacrifices. There's that Sabbath day law, right? All the sacrifices and the atonement for sins and things like this. And even though those were atonements for sins, God would rather they have justice and judgment. Okay? Those are two separate things. Justice is actually seeking the retribution of some wrong, right? But judgment is being able to determine what is right and wrong. It's the decision. It's being able to look at two things and going, well, how are they different? What's right and wrong? It's what we do here when we study the Bible. We judge things. Okay, we read the scripture, compare spiritual with spiritual, and we judge what is for us and what is not. We make judgments and determinations. Everyone judges. Even those who say, don't judge, are judging you when they say, don't judge. Why shouldn't I judge? That'd be a conversation you have. And then they'll talk back. This is not nice. It's not loving. Christians should love. God is love. Okay, you're making a judgment on who God is and what he's doing and that sort of thing. Okay, so it's just necessary. You know, there was a time where, I can't justify all of what's been done in the name of Christianity. There used to be a time where to be a Christian meant to seek understanding and to seek reason and to seek knowledge. That's what Christian meant. It meant to live life to the fullest. And now, okay, God has been dethroned and the world's rejected him. Okay, the world has rejected God entirely. And to be a Christian now is associated with ignorance. Being a Christian is a mockery today. Okay, so that's the poor situation you live in. When you read the scripture, you get a different understanding of that. Okay, when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. When these words give life. When this book right here leads you to salvation. 2 Timothy 3:16. Okay. When the three things Paul talks about the most is that you study and you gain a knowledge and wisdom and understanding. Those are things that are noble. Those are things that are good and that the world needs. Okay. Meanwhile, where am I at? Proverbs 21:3 says to do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Okay. As I mentioned this morning on the Ten Commandments, if people had judgment under the Old Testament law, they didn't have to memorize all 613. They just had to know love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor. And if they knew those two with proper judgment, they'd have 900 laws they can keep. You see? But God, they couldn't even keep the first two. They didn't have necessary spiritual judgment to be able to say, well, who's my neighbor? You know, well, what does it mean to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul? They wanted to justify their own sinful rebellion instead of subjecting themselves to those two laws, okay, those two simple requirements. Okay, judgment's a necessity. If you look on Proverbs chapter 28, verse 5. Judgment to judge, and we'll cover this in 1 Corinthians 10 or 2, but judgment requires knowledge. You cannot make a judgment on someone without knowledge of someone. Okay, to do so is an unrighteous judgment. To do so is foolish, okay? And so judgment requires knowledge, but judgment brings understanding. When you're able to look at two things and say, how is this different from the other? Which one's right? Which one's wrong? Is this a right way to go or a wrong way to go? Okay, is that right behavior or wrong behavior? Is that a right doctrine or a wrong doctrine? When you make a proper judgment, it gives you understanding. You know, we talk about growing our understanding. And it's not something we just sit around and go, you know, come to me understanding. Oh, you know, and you hope that you get understanding or you're born with understanding. No, it comes from judgment. Okay? It comes from the tools of being able to discern what is right and wrong. And when you're able to say, that's right, that's wrong, you have now understanding of what's right and wrong. You see? That's the result. And so people in society hate this idea of delineating and drawing a line and saying, you can't cross that line. But that's needed to have understanding of things. Everything is not acceptable. Right? And I mean behaviors, I mean doctrines, I mean all ideas. Not everything is acceptable. There are things that are true and things that are false. You see? And it requires judgment to be able to discern which is which. When we come to the Bible, you can't take the whole Bible and say, all of it I'm going to follow. Well, that shows me you don't have judgment of what's in the Bible. You don't have understanding of what it contains. You see? But people who have judgment and understanding, they'll say, well, I believe the Bible and it's God's word, but there are certain things that I don't do and some things that I do. And you understand the differences, right? You rightly divide, okay? So in Proverbs 28, verse 5, it says, evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. They see that? Again, we've got the ungodly, we've got these evil people, and they don't understand judgment. They don't want judgment. They don't want there to be lines. It's all gray to them. There's no absolute truth, right? But it says here, they that seek the Lord understand all things. Okay? That's just how it is. There's a God, there's a world, there's you. And if you seek after what is the who is God and what's he doing, and you're going to come to an understanding of things. You're going to increase in judgment. You see? You're going to be able to discern those things of God. Okay? Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. That's all preliminary information. We're back in Proverbs and Psalms. Again, just getting definition from the Bible of what judgment is. Okay? In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, we see in verse 3 and 4, and we'll come back to this later, that to judge requires knowledge. I mentioned earlier, judgment requires knowledge. You can't make a proper judgment if you don't have knowledge of things. Any king or priest under the law system cannot judge a righteous judgment if he didn't know the law. If you don't know the law, you can't make a righteous judgment. He says you have to know some things. Under the law system, that is. If you don't understand the dispensation of grace and the doctrines of grace, how can you judge what you're to do today? How are you to understand God's will if you don't know what God is doing today? If you don't know the doctrines of the mystery and right division. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. Paul says, with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. Oh, we're talking about judgment. I was just explaining how, you know, godly people seek judgment. You seek after the Lord to get understanding. You need judgment. And then Paul says, I don't even judge myself. Well, why does he say that? The next verse says, for, word for there means because I know nothing by myself. You see? He's saying that just to myself, my flesh, without any of God's help, I can't judge anything because I don't know anything by myself. He says, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Why is it the Lord that judges him? The Lord knows all things. The Lord knows the truth. The Lord has understanding of these things. God tells Paul things, and then Paul can judge. You see? And so we'll talk about this later. We talk about how to judge. But the point I'm trying to make here is that judgment requires knowledge. Paul says, I can't judge myself because he did not know. He doesn't know about himself. He says in Romans 7 that he didn't know that covetousness was sin until the law told me. I thought I liked, you know, looking at that woman with love. And I liked taking that candy when no one was looking. No one was hurt, you know. That's what I wanted to do, but the law told me that's wrong. So the law gave understanding, and the law teaches things, and the law gives us the ability to have that understanding of righteousness under that system. And the doctrines of grace and the mystery of Christ give us understanding for our dispensation. So judgment requires knowledge, and judgment brings understanding. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13. 2:13. He says in verse 12 that we receive the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak. So the Spirit of God gives us knowledge of some things, and you can't judge without knowledge. But once you've got knowledge, Paul says in verse 13, which things also we speak, and the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And he says down in verse 15, he that is spiritual judgeth all things. We judge all things because the Spirit teaches us, and the Spirit gives us knowledge of things. Okay, judgment requires knowledge. Judgment brings understanding. And so you're able to teach with understanding when you have knowledge of God's will. You see, I'm trying to make this simple, so don't make it too complex. Judgment requires knowledge, and when you make a judgment on something, you have understanding. Okay, look at 2 Timothy 2:7. 2 Timothy 2:7 is interesting. Remember back in Proverbs 28, Solomon said, "He that seeks after the Lord understands all things." Right? That seems to make sense. If anyone's going to have an answer, the Lord will. So if you seek after the Lord, you'll be on that path of understanding. Okay. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7, Paul says, "Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." That's interesting. So back in Proverbs, under the law system, you're going to study the law, and you're going to read Proverbs, where Solomon says, read these things, and you'll know the law and have understanding. And then Paul says, read what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Okay? So we're talking about judgment and how to get understanding. Well, if you're going to judge righteously, if you're going to be able to judge all things, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:15, then you need, apparently, to consider what Paul says. Okay? If you don't consider what Paul says, if you don't rightly divide the Scriptures, if you don't understand the necessary progression of instructions that God gave to Paul, then your judgment is going to be flawed. Okay? And that's what we see around Christianity. We have people making judgments about doctrine, making judgments about behavior, and about who God is and what he's doing, and it's wrong because 2 Timothy 2:7. They don't consider what Paul says. They don't understand right division. Okay? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 5. One other thing here about judgment is that judgment breeds wisdom. To judge, you need knowledge, and as a result of judgment, you get understanding. And when you have judgment, you're wise. Okay, when you have righteous judgment. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 5. So people wonder, well, some people are just wiser than others. People are born wise, right? No, not really. Everyone, including myself, everybody, is like Paul, where he says, I don't even judge myself because I don't know anything outside of Christ and God when he tells me these things. So that's how we should behave. That God's word here instructs us with understanding. And when we have this, we're able to make judgments, and we become wise. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 5. Paul says here, I speak to your shame. The Corinthians here were having internal disputes, and they were not able to resolve their disputes. And Paul says, why can't you judge these things? Why can't you discern what's right and wrong? Why can't you make a distinction between how you should behave and how you shouldn't? He says, I speak this to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man amongst you? No, not one that should be able to judge between his brethren. You see, judgment breeds wisdom, okay? A wise man knows how to judge, okay? And so that's the idea here. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 15, Paul says, I speak to wise men. I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. Well, if you're not wise, if you don't have understanding and knowledge, you're not going to know what Paul's saying. You're going to be ignorant of it. Right? And so it requires judgment there. It requires wisdom to do that. And so just to sum up here in a definition of judgment, I think a good definition may be determinations made by comparisons, right? Or if you want to use a biblical phrase, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That's judgment. Okay? Back in Exodus 18, I can read this to you here real quick. There's a pretty good definition of judgment from your Bible in Exodus 18, verse 6. when Jethro, Moses' father, came to Moses and he told Moses that you've got all these people here and they're seeking judgment, they're seeking some wisdom. And he explains that, I'm in the wrong verse, aren't I? It's 16 verse, I don't think it's 16 at all. 18:16, thank you. That's it. Moses said to his father-in-law, because the people come unto me to inquire of God, when they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws. So you see, that's how judgment works. Judgment is, as you see, two things, two events, two circumstances, two doctrines, and you judge one to the other, you compare them, and you teach them the law, the understanding, what God's will was, right? And so it's the same thing in 1 Corinthians 2, where Paul says you compare spiritual things with spiritual, you compare them together, you make a judgment, and you're able to discern what is the right way, okay? And all of this is to say is that judgment is something we need to have. That's what I'm trying to prove to you in point number one, is that judgment's a good thing. Because when I first started talking and I said, we're going to learn how to judge today, everyone in the room thought, what is he talking about? But judgment's a good thing that we need to have. Judgment means you have knowledge of things. Judgment means you can discern right from wrong. Judgment means you can be wise in walking in God's will. Okay, the church lacks judgment today, and we know that because it doesn't know God's will at all. You know, everyone's looking for God's will. They're searching for it. They're confused about Bible doctrines. Well, they're lacking in judgment. Okay, they don't want to make a delineation between right and wrong. They don't want to be able to say, well, that's wrong and that's right. Because of that, everything they say is just a blur. It's confusing. There's no judgment. Okay, there's no distinction. So we need to rightly divide. We need to cut straight, as it says there, so we can show ourselves workmen that are approved. Now, before we get in how to judge, now that we understand what judgment is, and before we get into our need for judgment, we need to understand there's a difference between our judgment and God's judgment. We read in Hebrews 4 that the word of God was a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You'll never operate as the word of God does perfectly, you see. To be able to read people's minds and discern what's in their soul and spirit. Now, you'll be in that direction, hopefully, as you grow in judgment and knowledge of the truth. But there's a difference between your judgment and God's judgment. That's why we always appeal to God for judgment, because God's perfect. God has perfect knowledge, and God is authoritative. Okay? You're not perfect in your knowledge, and you're not authoritative. You're just an ambassador, by the way. You can't sentence someone to hell. You can't condemn someone to death. So you have no authority over them. So you can't make that final judgment on them. You can, in your mind, in yourselves, judge right and wrong, and you should, okay? But you can't make that final sentence. That's God's responsibility. So there's a difference there between God's judgment and man's judgment. When you get those confused, there's problems as well. Yeah, every now and then you hear about some Christian that goes out there and, you know, shoots some abortion doctor or something like that, and they're doing it in God's name. You're not in responsibility today to be dishing out God's judgment in that way, okay? You're an ambassador. Okay, you're a minister of reconciliation. How does that align with you killing people? You see, God has a time for his wrath, and it's not now. So anyway, just to have that distinction there, there's a difference between your judgment, man's judgment, and God's judgment. Let's cover a few verses here, looking at our need to judge all things. Okay, we've defined judgment. Hopefully we've got some appreciation for that. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we'll see that Paul instructs us here to judge all things. In 1 Corinthians 2, down in verse 15, actually. 14 and 15. Verse 14 says, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So you see the knowledge that the natural man cannot have, because he doesn't have the Spirit of God, because he doesn't know the things of God. And because he does not know those things, he cannot judge on things regarding to God. You see how it relates there. So in verse 15, he that is spiritual, not natural, he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. You see the reason why there? He says that you are spiritual, you have a natural body, right? So you know the things of man. But you also have the Spirit of God, where you can know the things of God. So you can judge all things. Now, the people of the world, the natural man, they can judge things according to the earth. They can judge things in their flesh, right? They know nothing of the spiritual things. They know nothing about what God's provided and the things he's freely given to us. Okay? You're in a position to judge all things. You're in a position to judge not only the natural things, but the natural things based on the spiritual reality. Right? And so you that are spiritual judgeth all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man. Right? No one can sentence you to death. No one can sentence you to hell. He that judges you is the Lord. And you know that your judgment for sins was taken on the cross by Jesus Christ. And so you have these knowledge of spiritual things. So no man judges you, but you can judge all things. You can make a determination about right and wrong, about truth and error. Okay? And again, we're not talking here about a license for you to go around condemning people to hell. Right? That's not your responsibility. We're talking about your being able to evaluate and discern. All right? And we need to have that. You know, most everyone has an opinion on things, but there is a laziness about humanity as well. But we just don't care about things sometimes. And we don't want to have an opinion on things. The Bible says we should have understanding and knowledge of things. Okay? It says that it should abound in judgment so that we're able to handle issues of life when they come up. Okay? And you see it when you grow in the knowledge of the truth and you grow in godliness and spirituality. Hopefully your life is more stable now. You know right off the bat what you should do, what you shouldn't do. And so when something comes or when some bad circumstance comes, you know how to handle it. Right? That knowing how to handle it, that's judgment. That's you making the right choice, choosing the right path, and that's your understanding of the thing. Okay? And so that's what we're talking about. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 15, as we saw, Paul says, ye that are wise, judge ye what I say. So Paul instructs them to judge. Paul instructs them to judge in 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians, by the way, talks a lot about judgment because the Corinthians, they knew the doctrines of grace, but they had no judgment. They had none. They were doing whatever they wanted. They understood they were free from the law and doing anything. Okay? And he says, you need some judgment over there. He says, he that is spiritual judges all things. He says, I can't speak to you like that in 1 Corinthians 3 because you're carnal. You're not walking according to the Spirit. You're like babes. He says in 1 Corinthians 10, ye that are wise, judge ye what I say. Okay? Make these judgments. And all the book of Corinthians is about them making these judgments on certain things, on how they should behave and right and wrong doctrine. It says all things are lawful, but not all things are edifying, and all things are expedient. Well, that requires judgment to make that distinction. To say, yeah, I could do that, but not gonna, because it's not righteous. It's not something God would like. It's not expedient. It's not edifying to the brother. That takes judgment. That takes understanding and knowledge, okay? And so that's what Corinthians is about. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 13, says it like this. It says, judge in yourselves. And here it's talking about women praying with covering all that. But the point that he's saying there is judge in yourselves. So we'll deal with later how he's instructing people to have the ability to judge in themselves what is right and wrong. Romans 14:5, doesn't Paul say, be fully persuaded in your own mind. Don't do it because someone told you to do it. Be able to make the determination on your own. Okay? We should grow in our knowledge and our understanding so that when we ask ourselves, should I do this or why don't I do that? We know why. You see? We're increasing in judgment. All right? Look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. Paul, in one of Paul's prayers here, we covered this in our series on prayer, Paul prays here that they would abound in love and increase in knowledge and judgment. They would abound in love in knowledge and judgment. Philippians 1, verse 9. He says, this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent. Well, how do you know what's more excellent than other things? How do you know what's more important in your life to pursue? Okay, how do you know what's a priority? Well, if you have judgment and knowledge of things, all right, you can have knowledge of things, and without judgment, it does you no good. If you don't have knowledge of anything, you're just ignorant, and you don't know the way to go. But some people know the way to go, and they don't have judgment, and so they're going the wrong way anyway. You see? And so he says that, I pray that your love, that the love that you have for each other and for God would abound in knowledge and in judgment. You know, a new Christian, when they first get saved and they hear the gospel, they understand the reality that Christ paid for their sins and that they can't do anything in themselves to get saved, but in Christ, they understand that reality, the gospel. Okay? They're saved and now they want to grow in the truth. They want to do what God tells them to do. They want to follow God's will. But they have no clue on what to do. That's what Bible study is about. That's fine. We study and we learn and we get knowledge. That's what we do here. We read the verses, we get knowledge, right? And what I'm trying to teach today is what you do with it, which is the judgment part. You get the knowledge and you're supposed to discern. You're supposed to compare them in your mind. It's not enough just for me to throw it at you and you distort it in there. You've got to handle it a little bit. and say, what am I going to do with this and how do I apply this to the decisions I make? Okay? You have to intentionally do that. That's you abounding in judgment. That's you using judgment to your advantage. Okay? When you start doing that, you'll grow in your understanding. You'll become wise in the things of God. And it's because you're taking God's doctrine, you're working them in you. Okay? You're moving them around. So that's Philippians 1, 9 through 11 here. The result, of course, in verse 11 is that you're filled with the fruits of righteousness. Right? You can have the knowledge of righteousness without making the proper judgments according to your decisions in your life. You're not going to bear the fruit. It's just going to be sitting in there. You know, but until you get faced with something, you say, wait a minute. I know there's something in the Bible about this. I've read this before. And you make a judgment on it. Okay, you're not going to bear the fruit. So that's how that comes. So we're just going through the mechanics here of our need to judge for our spiritual growth and our increasing in godliness here. Look at Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, verse 8. You know, we live in the dispensation of grace. We're not under the law system. And typically when you talk about judgment in the Bible, people think about the law because the law did judge. Right? The law is a perfect example of judging because God taught you like a child how to judge. Right, wrong, right, wrong, right, wrong. Well, in the dispensation of grace where you don't have a law telling you, you see, it takes a little more work for you to study these things out and to make your own determination according to the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. Paul here is talking in verse 4 and 5 and 6 about these bad behaviors. And he says, these things are the results of the children of disobedience, right? These things that God's wrath comes upon. These are wrong. These are sins. Don't partake of these, verse 7. Verse 8. He says, you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Okay, you're not ignorant. You're not in darkness. You're light. You have understanding. You have knowledge. So you're going to be put in a position to judge these things. He says in verse 10, you're children of light, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Remember I said before that not all things are acceptable. Okay, that's just the reality of it. Not all things are acceptable. Stupidity is not acceptable before God. Ignorance is not acceptable before God. Romans 1 is listed as one of those sins without knowledge, ignorance. Now, you can cure it by getting knowledge. That's fine. That's one of the easiest things to cure, ignorance. But it's not something God wants you to be. He wants you to be wise and have judgment. So here, one of the tasks of a child of light, which is you, is to prove what is acceptable to the Lord. You do that with judgment. Okay, you have to know what's acceptable, what's unacceptable. He says in verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. We have to make a judgment. What's fruitful work? What's an unfruitful work? You know, Paul doesn't list everything here. It's fruitful and unfruitful. So you have to make a judgment on that. It says in verse 13, all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Oh, you're a child of light. Making things manifest, making things known, making things clear. That requires judgment and understanding. Okay? Look down in verse 15, 16, and 17. He says, see then that ye walk circumspectly. You know, circumspectly, the word itself has this kind of connotation, but it means you're going to walk the circumference around something. You're going to be careful to walk around it instead of going just right through it, barreling through it. You're going to walk circumspectly. Why are you walking circumspectly? Because you're not foolish. You're wise. You're making distinctions, discernments about the steps that you take. You're saying, I'm not going to walk right there. Is it because I can't walk there? Because I could take a step right there and just walk right into mud. But you're not going to. That's not a wise thing to do. It's not a righteous thing to do. And so you make a judgment. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to do this. And you do it freely. You're not under a law system. No one's holding you to the fire. But you do it because you want to increase in knowledge and understanding and wisdom. Right? That's the goal of it. Ephesians 5:15, you're walking circumspectly because you don't want to walk foolish. Verse 16, you want to redeem the time because the days are evil. Well, you understand now that sin is what put Christ on the cross. And you don't want to walk in sin anymore. It's not profitable for you. And so you want to walk in godliness. You don't want to walk in evil. So you're going to try to redeem the time. Well, knowing how to redeem the time takes every day, hour by hour, judgments. Every hour you're making decisions about what you do and how you spend your resources. You're redeeming the time right there. It takes judgments. Okay? Verse 17, be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So again, to understand God and His will, you have to understand something. You have to be wise. That requires your judgment on doctrines. Okay? Making them a priority in your life. That's judgments. So all this is necessary for your spiritual growth and your growth in godliness. Okay, Paul says that godliness profits in this life and the next, and so these are things that are helpful for you. All right, Walking after the course of this world only brings sorrow, only brings woe, only brings destruction. When you walk in the ways of God, when you walk in the ways of the dispensation of grace, it's profitable in this life and the next. Okay? And then that's what we learn from the Scripture. Look at Romans 14:5. Paul, all through his epistles, as we learned in our series on prayer, he's constantly praying that these people be filled with understanding and wisdom. And I'm trying to teach today that the tool to get understanding is going to be your wrestling over these issues and making a judgment on them. Sometimes you meet people today, especially in our postmodern society, as philosophers like to call it, and people never end with the wrangling. Okay, they've got something in their mind, and they're just satisfied with not knowing. You know, and that's the idea of the postmodern. You know, the idea that, well, we've got these two issues. No one really can know what's right and wrong, so I'm just going to leave it there. And I'm going to live the rest of my life satisfied not knowing what's right and wrong, what's true and false. You should never be satisfied with that. I'm not saying you'll always attain the truth of it. You should never be satisfied with that. You should always seek to have a judgment about what is right and wrong on it, what is true and false. Okay, always seek to improve. Right? Always seek to grow in godliness. Where are we at in Romans 14:5? Romans 14 here. Paul's talking about to be fully persuaded. Romans is in my Bible somewhere here. Romans 14:5 says, "One man esteems one day above another; another esteems every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind." Right. And what I want to extract right now from that is that you're persuaded in your own mind. Right? So the need to judge things, the need to be persuaded, that means you're assured. To be fully persuaded means you're confident that this is the way I should go. Now, in this instance here, Romans 14, verse 5, there's two ways that they're going, and the ways that regarding a day. And each man is persuaded in his mind. He says it's not, if you read the chapter there, he says it's not acceptable that they're not persuaded one way or the other. You should be persuaded. You should either be persuaded that you're not going to esteem the day or esteem the day. Because the end result is giving glory to God. And some of you just don't care, and you know, it doesn't really matter. You're not giving glory to God one way or the other. So you need to have the orientation. I want to give glory to God in all things that I do. And whether it means to esteem the day, I'm going to be persuaded about that. I'm going to do it. Or not to esteem the day, I'm going to do it. You see? So again, we're seeking this goal. Look at 1 Corinthians 6:3. 1 Corinthians 6:3 real quick here. For our need to judge all things. You know, the Bible says that when we're done here as performing as ambassadors on the earth, we're going to have a responsibility in heavenly places. Going to heaven is not eternal retirement. That's not a principle the Bible teaches, okay? And it's neither something that you're going to have to labor and toil like you do on the earth. So it's not the same, that either. But you are going to be working. You're going to be laboring for God. You're going to be doing things for Him. And it's not going to be grievous like it is on earth here. Okay? And you're going to be put in a position up there where you're going to be a representative of God in those heavenly places. Okay? And you're going to need some knowledge, some wisdom, and some understanding to operate that way. Okay? You're going to need some understanding of the gospel to do that. And you're equipped with that. You know the gospel if you're saved. You know Jesus Christ and what He's done, and so you're equipped to have these responsibilities. Okay, but 1 Corinthians 6, verse 2 and 3, he says, "Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world, and if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know you not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life?" You see the necessity for judgment there? So you need to learn how to judge now, because you'll be put in a position of judging later. Right? Of determining right and wrong. You know, managers is another way you call it. On the earth here, you're familiar with the word managing and managers, right? Well, managers know something about the business. They understand how it operates. And it's the same thing with you. You're going to be put in a position as a management position where you're going to have to make determinations on the angels and how they operate and the things in the world and how it operates based on your understanding of God's righteousness. It's going to be a totally different economy. It's not going to be like now, where, you know, it's going to be the things of the world, there's going to be scarcity, and there's going to be corruption and lying and cheating and that sort of thing. It's going to be righteousness. If you know how to operate in righteousness, you'll know how to operate there. You see, so that's the responsibility that you have in the future. And so again, our need to learn how to judge is important. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I want to cover real quickly here the things that we're supposed to judge. And I've already alluded to these a couple of times, just so that we see the verses once more. What are we to judge? People, right? Number one, people. No, not necessarily. The 1 Corinthians 2, what we're going to judge are going to be, number one, these spiritual things. Okay. When you got saved, you made some judgments. Remember when you heard the gospel the first time? You determined, you know, God's right. I'm not perfect. And I've done some wrong things. So right then, you made a judgment on there's some right and wrong things, and I've done the wrong things. And then you made a judgment. You know, God's perfect, and God requires perfection to be to heaven there, you know. And so you made a judgment on that. You made a judgment that Christ paid for your sins. So you've already made some of these judgments on spiritual things. The 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, describes here what it is that we're supposed to judge. All right? Verse 7, actually, says, "We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world and for our glory." Do you know what the wisdom of God is? Okay, God is a righteous judge. We already saw before that judgment's an attribute of wisdom, and judgment begets wisdom. And so God's wisdom is being able to judge like God. You know, to make that understanding. Okay? So we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world into our glory. Verse 8 says the princes of this world did not know it. They were ignorant. So I say you should know it so that you can have God's wisdom and make a righteous judgment. Verse 9 says, "As it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God prepared for them that love him." And that's a quote from prophecy. And under prophecy, they could not know the things that God had prepared for them. Right? But you can know today the things God has prepared for those that love him. Okay? There are things that Paul talks about that you have as possessions, spiritual blessings, inheritances, your position in Christ. Okay, the gospel in your life and working effectively in you. You have these things that God has given to you, right? That you can understand now. You know, people before didn't know those things. They didn't have those. They didn't understand them. But verse 10, it says, "God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all the things, yea, the deep things of God." So we can learn these things through the Spirit who's written a scripture here, and the Spirit that works in you, testifying you're a son, you're a child of God. So again, we see in verse 11, what man knows the things of a man through the spirit of man which is in him, even so the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. So you're able to know the things of God because you have his Spirit, because you have his Word, the Spirit-inspired Word. "Now you have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us." So we're talking about what we're to judge. I'm saying, number one, we're to judge these spiritual things. Verse 13 again, he says we're to compare spiritual things with spiritual, just to know these things that God's given to us, and to know the things he's freely given to us, right? That's what you're supposed to determine. So we do that every time we study the Bible here. When we study it rightly divided, we're understanding the doctrines, we're trying to learn God's will, what he's done, and what tools we have, so we're built more equipped to live that way. So those spiritual things matter. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. These Corinthians weren't at the point to handle those things he talks about in 1 Corinthians 2. He says there are things that God has given you, but then he says, you know, you can't understand these things because you're not at that point. You're acting like babes, children. "I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal." There's envying and strife and these sort of things. So they can't even discern the simple godly behaviors that they're supposed to do with each other. How then can they discern spiritual things? You know, natural man can discern sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes natural man can discern how to get along with people. You know, well, just don't be jealous of that guy, you'll be all right. You know, don't kill that guy and you'll be okay. You know, natural man can come to these natural judgments. And the Corinthians here, they're facing the same problems that natural man does. How can Paul speak to them of spiritual things if they don't even understand natural things? So you see, their need for judgment, not just over natural things, but also the spiritual things. Because when you get past that level of naturalness, you can start to understand then your spiritual blessings and spiritual things that you have. Okay? And so we're to judge these spiritual things, we're to judge the natural things. If you look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 7, we see that we judge doctrine. And so when someone has a teaching when there's religions in the world, when denominations say this is what I believe the truth is, you don't slap them across the face, but you're to make a determination on whether it's true or not. Okay? We're not supposed to say, it doesn't matter what you believe, whatever, you know, you're just a dogmatic guy, that's your preference. No, we're supposed to have a judgment on you. We are the pillar and the ground of the truth. We have the Word of God. This is God's Word, which is truth. We need to be able to judge what is truth and error. You don't even have to tell someone about it, but in yourselves, do it first. And hopefully the Spirit convicts you enough to instruct someone else in gentleness and aptitude to teach. But we're to have judgment on those things. Why are they wrong? Are they wrong? Are they right? It's just helping them. And why should we do that, you say? What's profitable for them? Well, twofold. One, it protects you from wrong teaching. This morning, we were talking about that, how there's a lot of potholes out there in Christianity. And if you have knowledge and proper judgment, you'll walk circumspectly around those and you'll have an easier time of it, you see? But those who don't have judgment, they're walking right into the potholes, walking right into those trouble spots, okay? But secondly, it's because it hurts other people when you don't make judgments. You're saying, what? I thought judgments offended people. Well, yeah, that's their problem, actually, because their problem is that they don't want they don't respect knowledge and understanding. But when you make a judgment about another's teaching and they're walking in wrong doctrine, that's to their detriment, you see? That's to their detriment. That's why Paul talks about Ephesians 4, speaking the truth in love. Okay, so we're not judging people for the sake of us being superior to them. We're making judgments, determinations as a parent to the child for their benefit. Saying, look, that's going to lead in the wrong way if you walk that way. You know, it's like tithing principle, you know. I speak strongly against tithing. It's horrendous. It's an evil. Okay, because they put people back under the curse of the law when they teach tithing. Okay? But I don't hate these people, but the doctrine they teach leads them down the road to the wrong way. You see? You make a judgment, that's a wrong teaching. Okay? It's the same with denominations, other religions, in the same way. We need to have that judgment towards doctrine. Over at Colossians chapter 2, verse 7, it says, rooted and built up, we're to be rooted and built up in Him, in Christ, and established in the faith, stabilized. We're to be grounded in the faith and the truth of doctrine, as ye have been taught. So it's teaching, right? Abounding therein with thanksgiving, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, not after Christ. So we're to have this judgment to know about what these wrong paths are. Ephesians 4 talks about being tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. We need to know and be guarded against these wrong doctrines. Okay? A soldier goes into battle with armor on. And he walks down the tarmac or wherever he's walking with his armor on and no one's fighting him. People are going, wow, you got a lot of clothes on there. But he's got the armor because he knows it protects him from the bullets that are out there. So when he gets to a place, he knows the bullets are flying, he's protected. You need to be equipped to know about these other doctrines, to know what's right and wrong, to make these judgments, so that when you're faced with that opposition, you're defended against it. You're stabilized. Okay? So again, we're to make judgments regarding sound doctrine. Look at 1 Corinthians 5. This is where it starts stepping on people's toes. Most people will appreciate the idea that we need to discern spiritual things. We need to make sure that we're right in what we teach. You know? But what about when it comes to godly behavior? Now, there's toes we're starting to step on now. But we are to make judgments about those. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and 6 deal with this. The whole book of Corinthians really deals with their behavior and their working with the doctrine. 1 Corinthians 5, where we have verse 11. Paul says in verse 9, I wrote unto you an epistle not to company with fornicators. It almost sounds like a law, doesn't it? Don't do this. Okay? And then he says in verse 11, now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or idolater, or railer, or drunkard, or extortioner. He says, don't fellowship with these people. Okay? Paul is making a judgment in himself, and he's telling the Corinthians to make judgments about what these things are. Do you know what a railer is? I love the Webster's definition of a railer. Those who have opprobrious speech. You don't know what opprobrious is either. Those who have strong language, right? They're just railing against something with very strong and vehement language. Like they're angry at it, you know? And that type of person, they're not rational. They're not able to make the proper judgment, is what he's saying. Idolater. You know, anything that does not glorify God is idolatry. Right? So it's not just, oh, you have a wooden statue in your house. You know, it's making the judgments on what those are. And so you can see right here when Paul lists these behaviors and these things that are wrong, you may need to go back and read the things for our learning back in the Old Testament that dealt with idolatry and extortion and railing and everything else to see what's right and wrong behavior. He says, have not company with these people, for what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? You see, there are those that are without God, without Christ. And, you know, God's going to judge them, and they're going to be facing their own decisions and this sort of thing. But what are people that are inside the body of Christ? People that, you know, that are Christians, apparently, that know the gospel. We need to be able to judge people's behaviors in here. And here you are, living it up over here, and you got the first church of the fornicators. I mean, hold on. We need to have some judgment, okay? You read in 1 Corinthians 5 at the end of the chapter there, and you see what type of behavior was going on in the church. And he says in verse 13, them that are without God judgeth. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. And he goes on in 1 Corinthians 6, dealing with those that are within. Okay, so you can read all through down chapter 6 there and deal with Paul's instructing the Corinthians on how to judge people's behavior properly. Okay. So it's important that we, as members of the body of Christ, we have servants of righteousness, understand right and wrong behavior, and be able to make a determination on what it is when we see it. And to know what pride is, to know what rebellion is, to know what railing is, you know, those sort of things. Okay? So that number one, we don't have it in our own lives, but number two, so that the members around us and those that we influence don't have it either. Okay? And people say that grace leads to licentiousness, and grace is just a license to sin. Well, that's the most ridiculous thing ever. Grace puts you into the body of Christ. It makes you perfectly righteous with Christ's righteousness. Why then would you even consider walking in sin at all? You know, under the Old Testament law, there was only 613 points of law you had to keep. You say, only? Well, yeah, there was only 613. There's a million different situations that you could be exposed to that require your judgment on what's right and wrong. Well, the law didn't address this issue and say there's a loophole, right? That's why the law is no good. That's one reason why it's no good for you. You are not under the law. You don't have that list of do's and don'ts, but you are individually equipped now with God's judgment to be able to discern in every situation you have what is right and wrong. Okay? And so that's a more equipped soldier, I think. That's an adult son, not a child who has the list of do's and don'ts. Right? That's someone who's able to walk in righteousness. Meanwhile, moving on here, Paul tells us to judge godly behavior. So spiritual things, we're to judge doctrine, right and wrong doctrine, godly behavior, ungodly behavior. Okay? He says in 1 Corinthians 2, just repeat once more, he said to judge all things. Ye that are spiritual, judge all things. Now, if you don't have the wisdom, you don't have the understanding, you're not in the judgment business. If you don't understand right division, you're not in the judgment business. It's only when you're spiritual, you're past the natural, past the carnal, that you're able to judge all things. Okay? Because you then have the knowledge of what Paul says. You have the knowledge of grace. You have the knowledge of the change in God's program. So you wouldn't dare putting someone back under the law system, because that's, we know very, very, very clearly from our studies of dispensationally, that's not what God's doing. So that wouldn't be a proper judgment, would it? So you see, either a spiritual, judge all things, the natural things and the spiritual things. And that should be our position as ambassadors in this world. We should be in a position, equipped, not only knowing, like everyone else does in the world, the things of the world. We're not, we're not ambivalent to what's going on out there. We have opinions and judgments on the things in society, right? But we have knowledge of the things of God, or we have another half of that. We have more insight into the truth because we have the knowledge of spiritual things, you see? So we're able to see what the real cause of some of these problems are. And so we're to be able to judge all things. That's why you will be equipped to judge the angels in 1 Corinthians 6:3. Okay? Moving on. So the last few minutes here, I want to deal with how to judge specifically. Hopefully the lesson so far has given you a better appreciation of required judgment and what it means to have judgment as a member of the body of Christ. Even though we're operating under grace, we need judgment. Right? And so now we're going to get into the details of it. And how to judge and what it looks like to judge. Okay? So we know what to judge. Look at Romans 1:17. When we have judgment, we're going to exhibit the godliness and the sanctification that God wanted us to exhibit as his representatives. Okay? And it's going to be the things that are contrary to the natural man, contrary to what the course is of the people who are without God, how they walk. Look at Romans 1:16 and 17. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Okay. We start the starting point for us in the book of Romans, the starting point for us in our spiritual life is the gospel of Christ. And we never leave that point. Okay? The gospel of Christ is the beginning and it's the end. There's the gospel that saves you, and then there's a working of the gospel in you in order for you to grow in godliness. Okay? And so that is the power of God in salvation. The thing that will change the world today is the gospel of Christ. That is the answer. You'll say, it can't be that simple. That's just religious talk. No, it is. The gospel of Christ is the problem with the world today. They reject it. They ignore it. They mock it. They scoff at it. Okay? But they don't understand the gospel. Sin, righteousness, how to get righteousness, and that no one's perfect, and where the place for the law is, where the place for grace is, they would have knowledge of all things. They would have understanding in all things. Okay? The gospel of Christ is the power of God and salvation for one that believes. You are one of the people that believe. You're on that road and equipped with God's wisdom. Verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. There's a need there in verse 18 for you to judge godly. Okay? It says in verse 18 that it's the wrath of God. Okay? It's the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God. Verse 17 is the righteousness of God. And so when you judge, it's not your opinion. It's not my glorified, sanctified Christian opinion about things. It's God's judgment. It's God's righteousness. It's God's wrath. So when you judge, you're going to first subject yourself and your own fleshly preferences to God. Okay? And so it's not just going to be you giving your holy opinion about things. It's going to be you going to the Scripture and going, what does God say about this? What does God think about it? People really don't respect that at all. You know, they see so much, so many ignorant Christians and so many ignorant people in the name of religion making crazy statements in the name of God that the devil has really succeeded in making anyone talking about God's judgment look like a fool. Okay? But that should be your position. You subject your will to what God's doing and say, what does God think about this? What would God appreciate about this? Right? And so when you judge godly. Look at verse 32 in Romans chapter 1. Romans 32, at the end of chapter 1, he lists 25 things that had led the world into wickedness and sin in the course of the world that he describes in verse 32. One of the things is that they know the judgment of God, and they which commit such things are worthy of death. Not only do they do them, but they have pleasure in them. And so it's not that the world doesn't understand some of these things about righteousness as far as in the natural world. Okay? It says that they have the knowledge of not killing people. Romans 2 says that. Thou shalt not kill. Don't steal. Societies are built on these principles. Right? But when you start talking about it being God's wisdom and God's judgment, they know that, but they mock it. Right? And they know that when they go against it, it's worthy of death, but they do it anyway. Okay? So they have no respect that the judgment's of God. Right? And you should judge with that respect that it's of God. Number two, you should judge according to the truth. Okay, when you make a judgment, you make a determination, one way to judge, and this talks about this throughout the whole Scripture, actually. We deal with this in James as well. When you judge, you should judge according to truth. It's not judge according to preference or judge according to respect of persons. Right? Romans 2, verse 2 deals with this. It says, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. The lesson you learn about how to judge there is that it's not saying there, don't judge. You know, people read that and say, he's telling you not to judge. No. He's saying, don't be a hypocrite. Okay? When you judge, put everyone on the same level when you judge. That means if you're doing the same things, looks like you're guilty too. You see? That doesn't mean you shouldn't say, well, I'm not guilty either. That's not a wrong. Everybody does that. Right? No, it's still wrong. You just do it too. You see, so you're just as guilty. That's what Romans 2's point is. Israel is just as guilty as the Gentiles. They did the same things. Right? So when you judge God's judgment, not man's judgment, and you judge according to truth. It's not because you're a special person. Right? It's not because you're God's people that you're somehow oblivious to God's righteousness. You're on the same level of judgment. Right? So everyone understands the idea of hypocrisy there in Matthew 7:1, when it says, don't judge, right? It's because don't judge, or you'll be judged by the same judgment. Don't be hypocrites is what it's saying. Right? So we understand that. So we know, after appreciating that we need judgment, we need to make judgment, and it's something we must do to grow in godliness, now we're getting down to brass tacks and go on, when we judge, we can't be hypocritical. So what happens when I'm out there railing against something and I'm doing the same thing? Well, it looks like I'm in the wrong, right? You see? That doesn't mean I don't need judgment. I need to judge myself. I need to turn that judgment around and go, look at this. You see? And I need to, and that's how I'm going to grow spiritually. That's how I'm going to grow in my own walk. You see? So you need judgment, but it should be judgment according to truth. Romans 2 verse 11 says, "For there is no respect of persons with God." So if you're going to judge like God, you should have no respect of persons. Everyone's the same. Doesn't matter if they're the Pope. Doesn't matter if they're a grace believer. Doesn't matter if they're an unbeliever. All judgment's on the same level. You see? There's no respect of persons with God. It doesn't matter if you have the law, if you don't have the law, you're faced with the same judgment. Look down at verse 16. Paul says, "In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel." Well, Paul's gospel is that there's no Jew or Greek. There's no male nor female. Okay? You're on the same level where he's counted all in sin so he can mercy upon all. All in unbelief. Right? So there's that same level teaching, judgment and the truth. We've already seen in Romans 14, verse 3, that one way to judge is to judge in yourselves. We saw that if you're a hypocrite, you're going to have those fingers pointing back at you anyway. Romans 14 says that when you're judging someone, even if you're right, you're not being a hypocrite in Romans 14. You're talking about someone who doesn't know, and you've got the right judgment, and they've got the wrong judgment, according to mature doctrine. Okay? Romans 14, verse 3, Paul says, "Let not him that eats despise him that eats not. Let him not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him." Okay? So, on two sides of the issue, you're vegetarian or you're a McDonald's fan, not judging each other about that issue, he says. Why? Is it just because we shouldn't judge and judging is a wrong thing? No. It's because Paul says here that each of us will be held accountable to God for how we glorify him. Okay? The intent he describes in Romans 14:3 of this person not eating the meat is to glorify God. And the intent of the person eating the meat is to glorify God. Romans 14, verse 6, "He that regards the day and regards it not, giveth to God thanks, and they both do it to the glory of God." He says, "Why dost thou judge thy brother?" In verse 10, "For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." God, who has perfect knowledge of all things, knows that they're being hypocritical. He knows that they're unbelief, and we all stand before his judgment seat. And so when you have two people, and they're both saying, "Well, I'm trying to serve God too. I'm trying to serve God too," and they're doing two different things, you should be fully persuaded in your own mind, make a judgment about how you do things, what you think is right and wrong. But if they're fully persuaded as well, leave it to God. It's not your responsibility. God knows. God's able to make a righteous judgment. You see? So that's how you make determinations on those things. Okay? But you should be persuaded about the issue nonetheless. 1 Corinthians 4, we saw already, Paul describes judge according to knowledge. You need to have knowledge. If you don't have knowledge, you can't judge correctly. So you need to have that knowledge to judge. And finally, how do we judge? Well, we need to be merciful. The opposite of judgment, and the opposite of pouring out wrath, the opposite of sentencing someone and condemning somebody because they fall on the wrong side of the judgment. And there is that positive side of the judgment where you can judge and say, good job. There's the negative side where they've done the wrong, right? Which is most often all people see. There's the be merciful, right? One of the three things that Jesus said the Pharisees omitted from the law was judgment and mercy. Okay, they didn't have judgment. They were doing their own religious system without judgment of right and wrong. And then when they had judgment, they weren't having mercy. And so today in the dispensation of grace, where God has had mercy on you because you could not do anything before a righteous God to earn your salvation, and you understand your own fallen condition, and you understand that you're once in ignorance, and that the only reason why you have God's wisdom now is because you study and God gave it to you. It's not because of your own ability. You should be, of all people, in a position to realize that God is merciful, and if you're a representative of God, you should be merciful. Okay? Keep in mind that being merciful does not mean you're ignorant of the judgment, right? You still have a determination of right and wrong. You still know what's right and wrong. Mercy is that I'm not going to slap them around just because I know that I judge that that's a wrong thing. I'm going to look for their benefit, look for their edification. I'm going to try to help them, right? I'm going to see what I can for their edification. So Paul, all through the Corinthians, says, even though you know that it's an okay thing to do this, do it for the sake of the other person. Be merciful. Give up your liberties in order for the other person to be edified and to grow. Right? So to be gracious. Ephesians 4:32 says to forgive others for Christ's sake. You can make a judgment and say, well, they've wronged me, and I'm right in this judgment because I know they've done a wrong, and they've wronged me. And Paul says, be forgiving. Christ was forgiving. Right? For your own benefit, for their benefit. So, in the end here, how to judge. We know, in appreciation, hopefully, that we need to judge as God's ambassadors, as God's representatives. We have a necessity of judgment for our own personal growth and godliness. We need to be able to judge all things. Okay? But when it comes to how to judge, or to judge godly, according to truth, or to judge in ourselves, or to be merciful towards other people. So, we're dealing with people who have don't understand sound doctrine, who are walking in godly behavior. They see the grace and the mercy. But hopefully they grow in the knowledge of the truth, and they are able to judge in themselves. They're able to experience that judgment, okay, in themselves. So it's a tool of growth. All right. Any questions, comments about that? Something that we need.
The definition of the word manage.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, when you manage is one aspect. Manage requires judgment, right? And when you manage something, you make 100 judgments a day, and you have rules that you set and say, these are the boundaries of your responsibility, and this is what we need to do, this is where we need to go, you know. And so those management decisions are your judgments on the direction and the way people ought to dress when they come into your company. You make a judgment on that. Maybe you don't want a dress code. Maybe you do want a dress code. You have to make a judgment, you see. And so maybe in some companies, dress code doesn't matter. But in some other companies, it sure will. You know, because the clients will be affected. It's the same way in your Christian life. Make a judgment. There's no law one way or the other. Make a judgment and say, well, is this going to affect this other person if I dress this way? Yeah, so, yeah, it's very similar, I think, in our modern culture to management or self-management. But, you know, and Christians have fallen into that. You know, they treat the Bible as God's management book, and they think the Bible teaches them how to grow successful businesses and that sort of thing. It's half-truth and half-world, you know. If you walk in godliness, then you'll have some understanding with that. But you'll run your business different if you walk godly, if you understand godliness. You just will. But it's another lesson. Any thoughts? All right. Let's say a prayer.